In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. Today's program is special to me because I want to draw your attention to something we don't often talk about. It's suspected, I believe, and probably assumed that there is a church behind the armor of God, but we don't often talk about it in detail. The Church of God International was formed in 1979 and exists in many places. We have congregations throughout the United States and in various foreign countries such as the Philippines, Australia, down in Jamaica, and throughout the nation of Canada. We have many interested people throughout the world, including Africa and other continental locations. But we don't often tell you or invite you to participate in our local churches. So today's program is going to be geared in the direction of informing you of the presence of local congregations of the Church of God International. But the conduit to it is to remind you that the church, the Bible talks about the church, was built by Jesus Christ and continues down to this very day with the anticipation of the second coming of Jesus Christ to marry the church. Therefore, it's important that you be a participant in the church. Now, I know that there's a lot of confusion out there today about which church. There are so many to choose from. There are so many you can see and so many you can speculate about and with. You find various denominations, whether it's the Roman Catholic denomination, whether it's Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, various kinds. There are even individuals who try to commingle the various religious activities, whether it's Islam or Hinduism or whatever they might be. They try to find a way to find out what the church is. Well, today we're going to show you what the Bible tells you the church is and perhaps invite you to participate in one of our congregations. But first, let me remind you of what we are offering you today in today's program. First of all, the booklet that we have is entitled, This is the Church of God International, or This is the CGI. It's a booklet you can read in a very short while, sitting in the comfort of your home or on your back porch or wherever you might sit, and read about who we are, so there would be no doubt about it. But also a sermon entitled Building the Church, a sermon that I gave some time ago, I think in 2004 or so. But you are welcome to receive both the sermon, Building the Church, and the booklet, This is the CGI, This is the Church of God International, simply by calling 1-888-578-8791. Or you can go to our website at cgi.org. That will be cgi.org on the World Wide Web. Everything that we offer on the program is absolutely free of charge, so we invite you to take this opportunity to make the call or hit us up on the web to receive the free materials. Now, on to today's program. It is so interesting when we talk about the church. Here is something that Jesus Christ is recorded as saying in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, it was an interesting little scenario when Jesus asked the disciples, well, listen, bros, may I be colloquial for a moment? Look, bros, who they say I am? Now, I don't normally talk that way, but I'm just trying to let you know that if you're from the hood, you know, I know what that's about too. But who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? That's an interesting question. So they responded variously by saying, well, some say you are John the Baptist. Well, that's not possible because there was a literal John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, and or one of the other prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say you? You who spent all this time with me, going down the dusty roads of Palestine, going up into the area of Galilee, up around the Red Sea and different places, not the Red Sea, but the Sea of Galilee and places like that. What? Who do you say I am? That you see me healing people, you see me preaching to people, you seeing me bringing joy to folk? What do you say? And they responded, or Peter responded, Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, Christos in Latin, Christos in Greek, also because it simply means anointed one. The anointed one, the Son of the living God. Now that's quite a pronouncement by Simon Peter. Jesus then responds to that response by Simon Peter by saying, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. The question is, who do men say I am? Peter's response, you are the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I say unto you that you are Peter. This is one of those confusing scriptures that many people conclude that Jesus was telling Peter he was the rock. How could he be the rock when Jesus is the rock? In a weary land. Rock of ages. The rock that the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talks about of being the rock in the wilderness with the children of Israel. So Peter is not the rock. He's a little stone. Peter, pebble. That's what he's telling him. You are a little stone, and upon this rock, the Messiah, you just answer the question, who do men say I am? Upon that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or the grave shall not prevail against it. Then he goes on to tell them, I'm going to give you the keys, the insights, the mechanism by which you can unlock what the kingdom of God is all about. And I will expect you to teach others what you have learned concerning the kingdom of God through the church. So why the Church of God International? Our effort is to teach you about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is going to surmount anything that we see in the world around us today. Any national government, any international government, any tribunal of any kind, there is going to come a time when the kingdom of God is going to be on the earth administered by Jesus Christ and those individuals who are part of his church. That's why we labor so hard trying to get people to respond to our request, to call us, hit us up on the website, secure the free material we're offering that might lead you to the church. Well, there's some more information about the church to share with you. And one of the things that you should know is that in Christ sharing with his disciples the fact that I'm building my church and you're going to be an intimate part of it, you're going to be reconstructing the lives of individuals as the church is built, there would come a time after Jesus has left the earth, after his death, burial, and resurrection, when he ascends back to his Father in heaven, this is described for us in the book of Acts, the first chapter. But I am not going to go to the first chapter. I'm just going to reference it to say that Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going back to my Father, but I want you to carry out a mission. I want you to take the church and go into Jerusalem, to Judea, into the uttermost parts of the world. I don't want you just to stay in Jerusalem. I want you to have that as your starting place to build the church. And I'm going to empower you with dunamis. That's the Greek word for power, or the word that we get dynamite from. Dunamis. We're going to empower you, my Father and myself, with the Holy Spirit, so that will enable you to constantly be building the church. But notice in the second chapter of Acts, This is after the Holy Spirit has fallen on the disciples, and they recognize that they have been doing something quite tremendous. They are speaking in languages that will be understood by all the people who have gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem at the temple. And this is a wide variety of people from all over the world. They've come. But they understand what the disciples are saying in their very own languages. But after hearing the message, including the sermon by the Apostle Peter, Peter starts out in the second chapter of Acts in verse 22 by saying this, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." He says, don't be trying to play this game like you didn't know who he was and the power by which he operated and the miracles which he did. And the fact is, I'm going to tell you some more about him. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, verse 23, and foreknowledge of God. God understood that this was necessary to happen. "You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up and has loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." He is not dead. He is alive. He has been resurrected. And there were eyewitnesses to that fact. So they were not saying something to which they had no witnesses. It goes on down to verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day." No, David is not walking around heaven. Sorry. Many people suspect that he is, but the Bible says he's not. He's dead and buried in his sepulcher to this day. What about the rest of the dead? If you write and get the booklets that we have on the resurrection, we might be able to share something with you about that. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Okay. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave or hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." This is confirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of the resurrection to those who believe, who are a part of the church. And that's really good news. That is cornerstone information of the good news about the resurrection. Oh, you may die in this physical body, but there is a resurrection coming. So after this sermon and the magnitude of it, the accusation against the Israelites and the Jews who had killed Christ and the fact that he did not stay dead, that he was resurrected, the people who were listening were pricked in their hearts. Look what it says in verse 37. "Now when they heard this," what Peter had said and the other disciples had said, "they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Really? That's the starting process. That's the beginning point. That's the juncture to which you must go in order to be a part of the church. The question is, what must we do? Are we complicit? Well, the scripture that I didn't read to you says that Christ was murdered by our insistence, by our sins. The necessity of our sins fell upon him. The chastisement of our peace fell upon Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, the Old Testament and New Testament tells us, we are healed. Jesus Christ wants people to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. So the Church of God International is one conduit to that. We don't claim that we are the only outlet of the body of Christ, but we surely want to be examined for our notion that we are a participant in the building of the church. And that's why we would love for you to participate in what we have to say. So, verse 41. This is so interesting because after hearing this message and responding to what we must do, look at what happens. Verse 41 says, "Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." There were 120 believers, and all of a sudden, there are 3,120 believers. That's quite an addition to the church. And I'm just suspecting and hoping that you will take time to make the phone call to find out about our local churches. I'm going to give a plug to our local church in Detroit, and I'm going to hope that Bill Watson and Mike James and Tony Booker will plug their churches because they have very active, productive churches. Bill has several churches. He's global, you know. He's not just local. He's global because he has a couple of churches in Ontario, Canada. He has one here in the Columbus, Akron area. Tony Buchert has a church in Columbus, Ohio. Mike James is in the Baltimore, the Washington, D.C. corridor. And I have a church that I pastor in Detroit, Michigan. But I'll tell you more about that in a moment. Continuing with the building of the church, there is something I think you should know. The book of Hebrews, which is vitally important to us to understand much about who Jesus was and what he was doing when he came here. But there's a statement in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews I want to draw to your attention concerning the church. The 12th chapter and verse 22, we'll start there. This statement by the writer of the book of Hebrews says, "But you, us as believers, you've come to the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." That's when we pray. That's when we have that relationship with the Father and the Son. "We come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." That's a mouthful to say. But do you realize when you become part of the church, your name is written down in the book of life and can only be blotted out if you reject that gift, that notion of grace and mercy that comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ? When your name is written down in the book, you become part of the firstborn of the church, along with Jesus Christ, the firstborn. And there are some mighty excellent promises for the firstborn. Firstborn will reign and rule with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God here on earth. Not in heaven, but here on earth. Because the book of Revelation tells us that the kingdom of God is coming to the earth with the administration of Jesus Christ and the saints, those who are part of the church. Now, that's kind of exciting to know that you don't have to be voted in. You don't have to join a political party of any kind. It's just going to be because God the Father says that's how it's going to be. And he is going to bring it to fruition. Now, there's something else you should know about the church in the book of Colossians. First chapter, verse 18, tells you about Jesus Christ and his relationship to the church. It says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn." You see, Jesus Christ was the firstborn from the dead. And we will be firstborn with him. Isn't that what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15? That the firstborn will be resurrected at the last trump, and we'll be a part of the firstborn in the family with Jesus Christ. It says, as we continue on, "He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." If you're connected to Jesus Christ through his church, you've got everything you need. But it goes on to say this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in heaven or things on earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have been reconciled. When you decide to be a part of the church, to make that commitment to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, you bury all of your wicked ways under the blood of Christ, and you are then reconciled to him in a close relationship. It goes on to say this, in the body of his flesh, through the death to the present, you holy and he presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, that which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, have made you minister. That's why he says in verse 24, we now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Oh, get that. The church is the body of Christ. If you become a part of the church, you become a part of the body of Christ, and therefore he looks out for his body. You want to know more about the church? You want to know about the body of Christ? You want to be a part or a participant? Then come by our website at cgi.org. Or hit us up on for our free booklets and the material we're offering today. But I'm going to give a special invitation to you to come to the city of Detroit, the Metro Detroit Church, where I hang out, at 16500 Northland Drive, 1 p.m. every Sabbath. We observe the Sabbath and Holy Days. You are free to come, and we will welcome you there with open arms to help teach you and stress to you how important it is to be part of a living body of Christ. That's going to be in the Crossroads building. I find that a fascinating name because many of us are at the crossroads of our lives and want to find a better way to live. So won't you participate? Won't you join in? Won't you call into our toll-free number, 1-888-578-8791, or call our office during regular business hours at 1-903-939-2929. Now, the material that we're offering today, I remind you, the booklet is, this is the CGI booklet, this is the Church of God International, and the CD, sermon tape, that I delivered some years ago entitled Building the Church. I'm excited about this opportunity to share with you the importance of the church. I could go to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus addresses the seven churches of Asia Minor, where he tells them, you know, I have some things against you because you have not done the first works, or you are lukewarm, or you are not quite on point about building the church. Sometimes, like in the first century, when the church was started in Jerusalem, what happened was they got so happy with the development of the church there in Jerusalem that they just stayed put. They didn't venture out of the city. In fact, people who had come to the city as pilgrims, as sojourners, stayed, sold their properties, and became attached to Jerusalem and attached to the church. And it took the death and stoning of one of the important leaders of the church named Stephen. You find this in the book of Acts, chapter 7. When he was stoned to death, that people began to scatter and carry the gospel to other parts as Christ had indicated they should do. Not only go to Jerusalem, but to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's what we're doing. So the booklet again, this is the CGI, this is the Church of God International booklet, free to you, and the sermon, Building the Church CD. All of these items are yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791 or do hit us up on our website at cgi.org. It's been a pleasure sharing this time with you, and I invite you to be encouraged today to know that the body of Christ is live and well not only in the United States or Detroit or Cleveland, but in the uttermost parts of the world. Till next time, I'm Bronson James saying, put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.